This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Welcome back. What a night it was. Wednesday, the 28th of July. I think that was the first formal national address we've had in 35 months. That is how it feels. Ah, boy. Dear Prime Minister, was that an address, a vaccine drive, a rally, or a church service? I would like to point out to the Independence Celebrations Committee that that is one way that you could include all of the things in one activity, even if they don't belong. But I kid. I tell a joke. It's not a very good one, but a joke nonetheless. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And we're going to have a brief moment of what's in the news, and then I'm going to quickly introduce my guest, Ms. Erin Brown, disability advocate and inclusion compliance consultant. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. See, I do that for free, you know. Y'all be around the place sucking your teeth at me in the food store parking lot. I work in. I have a job. Just because I don't get paid for it don't mean I'm not waking. Good morning, Ms. Brown. How you do?
Good morning. Good morning. And that's what we're doing. We have to change this charitable model into an investment sustainable model.
Boy, look here. I was just thinking that on the way into work this morning as the young man was in the road at Shirley and Village Road. You know, he's doing his thing. He have a job too. Mm-hmm. He's demanding that you reconsider your allocation of personal resources in right. The wider community, mm-hmm. right? That's mm-hmm. what he doing. Mm-hmm. He's a little aggressive this morning. I want to say, if you hear me on the radio, my boy, because I know you know me, don't be so aggressive mm-hmm. when you asking people for they things yes. to share with you.
Yes.
I know things is be rough, but you got to be easy. But also, the number of people on the road, mm-hmm. panhandling, mm-hmm. asking for money, mm-hmm. we call it begging, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Suggest to me that we need to switch, like you say, our models from a charitable model mm-hmm. to one that looks at real economic reform and change
yes.
to a model that includes more people.
Equitable.
Right, an regardless of model. Their mm-hmm. quote-unquote skill sets and value to society. The fact that you were born, the fact that God let somebody born you, mm-hmm. right, for my religious folk, is enough
mm-hmm.
to signify all your value,
mm-hmm.
right? We got to change the way we think about these things. Also, I want to say good morning to the man in the Ford SUV that almost took us out on the roundabout by COB. I know you were shocked. Like, how dare we be upset that you was just sliding onto the roundabout? You know, it was shocking, wasn't it? I don't know. Maybe you were on your phone or something. I want to apologize if we upset you. But I also want to apologize because I'm going to say something that will upset you. As a Bahamian, a newly employed Bahamian, who's still in love with the money I make in, right? I in love with this relationship. I wouldn't give you any of my money to do anything for me. Certainly not a professional job. See, you was driving that vehicle like you was going to work. You had buy them in the vehicle with you like y'all was going to work. I wouldn't hire none of y'all. You know who I'd hire? The boy who jump out the Ford truck because he knows something is wrong behind the wheel.
Mm.
That's who I hiring. I want you all to think about that, right? I want you to think about sometimes why you are approached with, the attitude that you approach with, why people sort of engage you the way that they engage you, particularly on the job. Sometimes you giving me clues from before you even start the work that you're not prepared for the job. Ooh. Hello, FNM, PLP, and other third parties. That's a note for y'all as well. Sometimes I could tell before you even pick up the pen or the hammer or the nail gun. See the difference? Hammer, nail gun, that's technology. I could tell that you are not prepared to do the job I'm prepared to pay you for. And I'm being disgusting, and I'm being rude, and it gets worse when after this initial indicator that I come and I try to speak to you about it, and you on the spot fire yourself outright by suggesting to me, the person who has requested that you come and do the job and has to tell you what the job is and is going to pay you for the job, when you suggest to me that I don't know nothing about the job I ask you to come and complete for me. So I don't think you all, boy them, understand why you're not getting hired. Understand why people have horrible attitudes. Understand why you're not getting called back on the job. I want to say good morning to taxi drivers as well, and the drivers of these SN plates. Just because you have a yellow plate don't mean the rules don't apply to you. That would be a blue and white plate with the letter CD on it. Okay? Please, taxi drivers, respect the road. You are a commercial driver. You are a commercial driver. You are a professional driver. Please set the standard out there. And that means, do not block up Bay Street as you drop your clients off to the medical center so they could get their PCR tests. Do not park your taxi or livery vehicle on the sidewalk, preventing members of the disabled community and other pedestrians from moving safely through the town. Please don't. Please stop. Just because the police aren't ticketing you doesn't mean that it's not an offense. See, sometimes we have to say this to some of the sexual predators and rapists in the country. Just because you're not being arrested for it doesn't mean that it's not an offense. I'm too young. I'm too young to be having to say these things on the radio, man. Thank goodness there's a holiday coming up so I could go get a bucket and put some Epsom salt in it and soak my foot. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful holiday weekend. Anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. It's as if we don't get it. It's as if we don't understand. I want to say two things here. First thing is this. You see this traffic thing? It's a microcosm, right, of governance, of how we interact with each other, mm-hmm. how we exercise our individual and personal authority amongst others that have the same amount of authority that we do. It's how we ignore and disregard that authority in others, personal integrity in others, how we disregard the right of way, the person who is allowed to go. This is a microcosm, and if we look around us right now, we could see we're having the same conversations mm-hmm. in the business world, in the political world, in the public sector and governance. We're having this. Why didn't you stop when the sign said stop? Why didn't you stay at work when the contract said you're supposed to stay at work? Why did you make that decision when the Constitution says you can't make that decision? But more importantly, to Bahamians, to the voters, I want to share a little secret with you. And I don't want to say it too loud because the politicians is be listening, even though they don't pay, you know, do what they're supposed to do. Every time you go on the road and you disregard the traffic controls, you disrespect your fellow citizens by ignoring the social contract that we call the rules of the road and the traffic controls. Politicians look at that and they smile. Mm-hmm. They say, first of all, you're not organized sufficiently to understand or combat anything it is we're trying to do. Second of all, you're not organized sufficiently to be able to support each other when necessary. Wink and nod at the unions. Second of all, I mean, third of all, because there's plenty there, it doesn't seem as if you're concerned enough about each other and governance and the function of your country for us to respect you. I hope you all notice this. Politicians do not respect you, the electorate. And I'm pretty certain they justify that behavior by looking at the way that you interact with fellow Bahamians. I really never thought, as a young person, I would say this, but if you do better, the other people could do better too. What we have to do is we just have to start doing better until there's nothing else to do but better. Until the only thing other people could do is better. And even the boy who's a petty thief, he will get better until he realizes that better is leaving this petty thief life and leaving this thief in life. Yeah. When people see you doing better, they realize that they are better than they thought. They can be more than they were told they are. And let me show you why I'm so committed to this idea. Because it worked for me. Because all of the important people in my life, all the people who I value, are the people who showed me that I had value. Are the people that simply every day tried to do better and set an example for me and others to understand the importance of trying to do better. You don't even have to get to the doing better part. It's the importance of trying to do better. Anyway, dear Prime Minister, I was going to talk about that church service you had last night, but my spirit led me in another direction. Plus, plenty of people are going to talk about it. It's hilarious. I mean, it's entertaining and it's hilarious, except for the fact that there was no actual substantive information in it, no actual ideas, right? There ain't nothing about hurricane preparedness and hurricane shelters and schedules and where people could go to get the information. Now, mind you, you had a couple little things in it, right? I'm not saying it was totally empty. Government's working closely with CARICOM and the U.S. government regarding a donation of vaccines, right? But here's something that got me. Countries will only get out of this pandemic by vaccinating a large percentage of their populations. Dear sir, that's a bit lazy. That's a very lazy strategy. Mm-hmm. And we can pause right here and say the fact that nobody on your team has taken a pay cut yet suggests that y'all need to go back to the table. That's what my teacher used to say. No, just go back. Go back to the desk and keep working at it until you come out with a better idea or the correct idea. This reliance on vaccinations is not sufficient because eventually people will require booster shots.
Yes.
And you can't put your hands on the vaccines now. How are you going to get the booster shots? You're talking about two pandemics. You created two worlds where the vaccinated can live without restriction. But what happens to them when the global paradigm says, well, now it's time for booster shots? What happens when they're relegated back to the world of third-class citizens like the rest of us? How will they feel? What will they demand of you? What will be required to maintain that status that gives them freedom? You say you're hiring 49 medical staff and 111 nurses. I hope they'll talk to you. I really pray that they will engage you. I hope that you understand the respect that you need to come to them with to apologize for the way that you've treated them in this time, the lack of clarity, the uncertainty, the disregard for the commitment that they have already made. I hope you understand those things. Yeah, but back to this. Countries will only get out of this pandemic by vaccinating a large percentage of their populations. Two things. A mass long-term testing and contact tracing strategy coupled with real quarantine facilities and self-isolation protocols so we could monitor people who are isolating on their own. An actual strategy to fix PMH has been a year and a half and the air conditioning units still aren't working. And I bet you all haven't implemented UV filters on any of the air conditioning systems in the hospital. And still politicians haven't taken a pay cut. You could compel the police and the COVID police to do their jobs, to wear their body cameras. You could set up an office for real-time monitoring of all the CCTV cameras that you've installed across the island. There are numbers of strategies you can employ before you start talking about mandatory vaccinations. And you're obligated to do that. You are actually obligated to do that. Mm-hmm. This well-taking stuff, so vaccines is what we're working with, is not going to fly. That's not your decision to make. Not you, not the competent authority, not the cabinet of the Bahamas, not the House of Assembly. These are not decisions that you can make by yourself. And guess what? It doesn't matter what the answer is. See, I'm a human rights advocate. It doesn't matter what the answer is. I have to put my personal feelings aside and advocate for the inclusion of all Bahamians mm-hmm. in the decision-making processes that will irrevocably affect their lives. See, there is no going back from this. And the least you can do is allow people to participate in these decision-making processes. See, when I talk about living on a plantation, people just laugh at me. They say, oh, Erin, she's crazy. She's racist. She keeps talking about this plantation thing. Just want to make people angry. But you are literally in the midst of the greatest global medical exercise experience in the last 100 years. And you are literally telling people, shut up, trust us, take the vaccine. And this is coming from a boy that doesn't know the difference between a titular head and a testicular head. This is coming from a man who doesn't know that the people in the Parliamentary Registrar's Office don't put whiteout on the cards. And that was an editing tool in a digital image that he saw. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Because LOI don't believe y'all understand where the hesitancy is rooted. See, we could talk about historic atrocities. We could talk about historic medical events that have, after being revealed, right, after being called conspiracy theory for months, for decades, some for a couple hundred years, right, and have been revealed as true, you could understand why people have developed a mistrust of these global systems. But we ain't talking about that. We're talking about contemporary mistrust. We're talking about contemporary experiences. Where is the Oban file? Where is it? Where is the investigation into why the BPL generator blow-up is on fire? Where is it? Where is the investigation that Minnis himself promised to engage after accepting Renwood Wells into the fold? About the LOI. See, there are real reasons why people mistrust y'all. Real reasons that have nothing to do with the pandemic and the virus. But because you refuse to engage them reasonably and sensibly, people refuse to trust you. The ball is in your court. But here's where the line is drawn. People have a right to participate in decision-making for their personal health and our collective health. These are not decisions for politicians to make alone. And before you could even tell me or us that we should allow you to make this decision on our behalf, show us that you understand how decision-making at this level operates. Where are the social scientists? Where are the human rights advocates? Yeah. Where are the legal positions? Where is the church and other religious communities in the country? Where is the space that you have created for inclusion in this decision-making process? So I was hesitant. I didn't want to talk about this. I mean, as an advocate, I didn't want to talk about it. Yeah. I wanted to see how it unfolded. Mm-hmm. It's such an important, we're in such an important process right now.
Yes.
And we have to be responsible. We have to make sure that we don't say something that will cause a riot or cause people to entrench themselves further in obviously unfounded and unsound mm-hmm. ideas.
Yeah.
However, I think it is important to point out that this is a human rights issue.
Yeah.
And people have the right to say, no, I don't want to take that medicine.
Yes.
And they have the right to say, no, I don't want to take that experimental drug either. And they also have the right to say, and I expect my government to at least bring to the table potential solutions, potential strategies that provide equitable and equal participation in the system of governance and life by those who don't want to take the vaccine. This is not unreasonable. This is not crackpot talking. This is not 5G chip and foil on your head conspiracy theory. This is basic principles of human rights and law.
Yes.
It's very simple. You cannot have conversations about mandatory vaccinations and vaccinations so glibly, so off the cuff. So if they don't care about, if they don't care, let them die. That's not acceptable. It's not reasonable. See, as a gay person, when gay people talked about, when we talk about the levels of violence that we face, whether it's structural violence, like your inability to access government services, like the police, because the police just laugh at you every time you go there, or if it's physical violence, because you get beat up every day in the schoolyard because you're gender nonconforming, mm-hmm. the response to that has typically been, well, if you want things to change, don't be gay then. But you can't tell people in this instance, if you want things to get better, just take the vaccine then.
No.
It's not an appropriate response.
No.
It cannot be. It never was. It never was.
Yeah.
So I'm not here to tell you whether to take the vaccine or not. That is not my job. Let me say it again. I'm not here to tell you whether to take the vaccine or not. I am here to demand that people are provided the environment necessary to make these types of decisions for themselves. Mm-hmm. That's it, yeah. Right there. Arlington, it's time for a break. It's definitely time for a break. I needed to say this. It's been a long time coming, and people have been asking me to engage the subject.
Yeah.
So I have. After this break, we're going to read some texts. And then we're going to continue this conversation about inclusion mm-hmm. with my guest, Erin Brown. We'll be right back. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock that's up for two. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock of Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And I'm so happy to say, and my guest today is Erin Brown.
Yes.
Well, look here. I asked my producer to play that song for me because, right, I have Erin Brown here. And seeing her this morning reminded me that it is the disabled community, mm-hmm. or the community of people with disabilities, mm-hmm. that has been leading the advocacy movement, right? Like the advocacy charge over the last few decades, mm-hmm. right? Like the disabilities community was the first community to host a conference open to the public on the Sustainable Development Goals. Mm-hmm. And they really leading Bahamians into space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they take in the charge.
Mm-hmm.
But after this conversation, I like that song too, because I want to remind our leaders and the people in the political class and the people who feel like they're on the cutting edge of development in this country, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to remind them of something Leon Williams said, that you got to be careful, like paraphrasing Leon, you got to be careful that you're not dragging people into a future they're not prepared for, right? That is one of the most paramount responsibilities of a government, because they have to balance the need to preserve the past, the need to provide for the present, and the need to prepare for the future, right? They got to balance all of that in every decision.
Yes.
And in that, you got to make sure that you're not dragging people into a future they're not prepared for, so you could achieve something or feel like you could have achieved something or feel like you live somewhere or try to justify a paycheck. I mean, you haven't prepared the people to be there, right? And it's the same thing, we allude to the vaccination discussion. You want people to take vaccinations, mm-hmm. but you haven't prepared them to be a vaccination-taking people. You haven't prepared them to be medically literate,
mm-hmm.
and to read the pamphlet on the medication. See, here's another thing. You're not creating an environment for that either, because the pharmacists don't have enough time to talk to you about the medication you're taking.
Or research.
Right. And they trying.
Yeah.
They trying.
Yeah.
It's just too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, we watch TV and we see these lovely things on TV and hardly pay attention to what's required to create it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you
good
doing?
Good morning. Good morning. It is a great Thursday to be on the clock. And I love what you started with, because a lot of times when we think about disability, we think of separate and apart, persons doing things within a silo over there, mm-hmm. because they're quote unquote differently abled or different, and all of these other terms we have coined. But in the history of all nations, persons with disabilities were present and accounted for and played a crucial part in nation building and development.
Absolutely. Had to.
Yes.
Had to. Okay, so introduce us. I didn't give people your full title. I mm-hmm. wanted to let you do that yourself.
Sure, sure. So, yes, my name is Erin Brown, and as Erin Green, I started off as self-advocacy, because I'm living with a disability, but also human rights advocacy, mm-hmm. because we recognize that all of us are differently abled, and therefore we have our barriers, our challenges that we face, and we must identify and resolve. And now I am a disability inclusion consultant. I'm currently in the Office of Disabilities and Compliance at the University of the Bahamas, which is another huge step to even have such an office exists within the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, within mm-hmm. the Treasury higher learning space. So inclusive education is a priority.
Absolutely. And see, it's not just the doctorates, right? It's not just having doctors as professors that make it a university.
No.
It's also ensuring that you have these spaces that makes it a university.
Yes. And I am also, as a disability inclusion consultant, I am also running a disability-led business and organization called Erin Brown Connects Disability Advocacy and Inclusion Management. Keyword, business and organization. So it has the charitable model, but it also has the service model. So therefore, those things we like for free 99, we also have to pay for a service, because it's a service provider business. And I'm the first para triathlete for the Bahamas.
Look here, let's talk about that for a second. Para triathlete.
Yes.
See, because I am a triathlete. I am a free water floating champion.
Okay.
I can float in any salty body of water.
Okay, so you treading
no,
the water.
No, full float.
Oh, you float. You full float. Floating.
Yeah, I look like I did in the water, but I float. I'm a champion at that.
Okay.
I am also a champion one-handed dishwasher.
Ooh.
Yeah.
One hand.
Yeah, only one hand.
Oh, look here.
I could wash and dry with one hand.
Mm.
I used to work for one restaurant on Hawkins Hill. I was the best a dishwasher. Also, I is a porking specialist.
See, now, I'm from Grand Bahama. I'm a Grand Bahama native. So when I hear people say the porky, and
we don't know about porky.
See,
we don't know what that is.
I always laugh when I hear someone say those terms. I go, oh boy. But you're a specialist at that.
Yeah, I'm a specialist at parking. Because you ain't going to see me. Because I ain't going to be on the court. You will never park me. It don't even make sense.
But see, this is why I love the term differently able. A lot of times we like to coin it for persons with disabilities. But it's describing the human race. Able-bodied are describing the human race. We're all abled. Differently able is describing the human race.
Right, okay.
And so when we're talking about persons with disability or the disability community, we need to acknowledge that part of our identity.
Yeah.
Disability is a part of our identity as sex, gender, race, sexual orientation,
right,
so on and so forth. For too long, we have left it to the side and we have not acknowledged it. And therefore, it is shown up in spaces, lack of funding, lack of program and initiatives, lack of access or frameworks, inclusive frameworks and opportunities. This is why we're at the spot that we're in right now, because we've removed the ability for a human being to self-identify in a sustainable way, because we've experienced such negative and devaluement and oh no, that's to the left. That's not for this space. Yeah. Inclusivity is for all spaces. Disability in sex, all spaces. We must understand that this is where a huge gap has lied for any nation, but specifically the Bahamas. You know, 400,000 persons, we're a test model. I mean, I know we already heard the experimental testing type of theories that we might be going through right now, but there are benefits to that as well.
Right. I mean, I've said for the last 15 years, the Bahamas government should be selling this country as a space where you could come and partner with tertiary institutions like the University of the Bahamas and BTVI.
Even UWI, Caribbean-centric, in the Caribbean.
And come and build models for your small town or small country right here.
And that includes your vulnerable group members, your high-risk group members, those who live with comorbidities, those who live with disabilities. That includes everyone. And we need to change and be intentional in that change in those steps. Let's not say it just to make it sound good. Yes, the UN SDGs are talking about in 2030, we're going to have more access and we want to reduce poverty and all of these things. Yet we still don't have a framework that is inclusive to include the consultants with disabilities, to include the professionals with disabilities, to include persons who live in social economic areas that may not be deemed as the most profitable ones, or we still haven't gotten any questions or answers from. This is the time. COVID was a gift. Yes, I said that. COVID was a gift because it spoke to accessibility that we in our community was denied for eons, because we were told it was too expensive, it's going to take too long, be patient, please give us time to. Yet within three to six months, we had remote working, we had flex shift hours, we had curbside, we had digital conversation.
Everything that the disabled community was lobbying for, petitioning for, and pointing out, and framing out, and building.
Yes.
Like the disabled community built a lot of these models.
Through the hurt, through the pain, and through the denial, through the decline.
As soon as something troubled the potential capital,
of non-disabled profit, persons
and profit,
businesses.
The businesses is like, oh no, we're going to have to do that
right away.
Right away, we're going to have to do that.
And these are real conversations. And we need you to be authentic and transparent and say, oh boy, yes, we did do that. It's not about the blame game anymore. And, you know, we've grown up in a culture, especially a politicized culture, where we're so busy blaming each other. We have all played a part in this. Acknowledge your part. Mm-hmm. Now produce resolutions. Now include. Now increase access. Give us opportunities to sustain and thrive within a country and a nation and a world that consistently tell us that we are of no value.
Yep.
Yeah. Our lives, even right down to medical and healthcare, our lives are no value.
And I mean, even every day, and I talk about it every day.
Every moment.
Every time you park your car on a sidewalk, you are telling a disabled person, I don't care about you. As far as I'm concerned, you could hop yourself in the road and get licked down by car. That's mm-hmm. how offensive it is.
Yet, it's also offensive for the non-disabled pedestrian who has a right to have access to that sidewalk mm-hmm. and no longer has it because someone has parked there. And there's a culture in the Bahamas when we think of accessibility, we're thinking about ramps only. Mm-hmm. We're thinking about doorways. We're thinking about railings. And once you've had that, boom, you've magically just became accessible. It is more than that. Accessibility, like I stated before, and I will say it again, and I want you to hold on to that when you're unsure of anything else. Access is a human right.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you would think, like, having this conversation in this time when people's freedom of movement, when their mobility has been restricted.
Oh, well, let's talk about that. I mean, everybody was just stir crazy and just upset that, oh, I can't go out at a certain time. You mean I can't go over there? This, you have gotten a pill that persons in our community have been dealing with for years. Our caretakers, our service providers, our loved ones have been dealing with this. I am not the first person with a disability in the world or in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. I will not be the last. But what I will tell you is the breath that I have been given, I will engage, I will amplify, and I will empower the voices within my community to learn how to self-advocate and advocate your needs on a global, national, industrial space. It intersects everything.
It does, absolutely. Now, I am a bit remiss. I got some text here.
Yes.
And let me start with a brief message from the Department of Inland Revenue. The real property tax forgiveness program continues. Save on your real property tax. Bahamian property owners can take advantage of waivers on their real property tax in one of two ways. One, bring your account to zero. Or two, get a payment plan. Offer ends August 31st, 2021. For further information, email rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs or call 242-225-5778. And that is a toll-free number. Again, this message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Now, I got a lot of texts here, a wide variety of texts. We're going to run through them, and then we're going to end the show with our discussion. First text, morning, the great FNM, FNM, two straight, maybe four, maybe more, since we nursery rhyming today. Another text, great show as usual. I will, like, criticize 2 points the PM made last night. He said he don't like needles, but it don't hurt. What needle you know don't hurt. And to me, he said the government made millions of dollars. I would not announce that because you know civil servants would want their money because no excuse. Because he bragging, the government got it like that. It did seem like a bit of a campaign ad, and I felt very patronized with that story, sir. It's this is a global pandemic.
Yeah.
This is a 100-year pandemic.
Yeah.
Ain't no time for them type of stories. Another text, Ms. Green, just heard you say the show is sponsored by Inland Revenue. Perhaps you can just tell them I said thank you for keeping me on hold for 40 minutes.
Oh, my.
Dear Inland Revenue, this is a critique about a bit of customer service. Every time I call, when I email to say I need help, they tell me call the same number again. Okay, I will also put in a note here to BTC to please check Inland Revenue's phone systems.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in Inland Revenue to please check your phone systems to make sure the connections are going where they are going.
Yes.
I would tell every corporate body in this country, please make sure that your voicemail systems are initialized.
Maintenance.
Yeah.
It's important.
Absolutely. Another text. Taxi drivers also parking in the loading zone. Another text, Aaron, you are not being fair with the PM. He never spoke about mandatory vaccinations. He simply pleaded with Bahamians to take the vaccine. What is your solution, Aaron, for the situation? Not what should have been done. What is your solution today for the overflowing hospitals? Well, first of all, what I said was that I didn't hear the Prime Minister speak about mandatory vaccines. That's what I said. Because others have said it. Others have indicated that at the state level, there are conversations taking place mm-hmm. about mandatory vaccines. The Minister of Health said that we're not currently considering, or we're not considering it currently at this time, mm-hmm. which if y'all don't understand politicians speak is, we have been thinking about this every day for the last 3 months, but we are not going to say anything.
As yet.
As yet. That's mm-hmm. what that means. So when I didn't hear him mention it, mm-hmm. I expected to hear the Prime Minister say, my fellow Bahamians and residents, you could trust me that we are not going to implement any type of mandatory vaccination program until we have a real mm-hmm. conversation with mm-hmm. the Bahamian people. That's what I expected him to hear. On another point, what is my solution? Politicians take a pay cut and actually focus on upgrading PMH. All them fancy administrative buildings that y'all and offices that y'all constructed, turn them into patient care facilities. That's like the Portia Smith Student Services building at COB with no NO space for students or things that students like to do. Right? I almost drop out of COB because of that.
Yeah. Well, they now have, well, they previously had, but they have a space now called the Hub. But, you know, a lot of, I think you're touching a really sensitive topic because students miss their campus. Like, we've been off that campus now, and we are like, we want to get back on the campus, but we understand that we need to do it safely, and there are a lot of things that needs to be done. So
right, and there are a lot of cultural shifts, right?
Yeah.
That's a big thing. And this is the last text here, Aaron, washing the dishes with one hand, you say, did you get those bad boys 100% clean? If I am an
That's
Olympian,
the question. That's right. She's a champion.
I'm in a special, special, special Olympics for silly people, and I have a gold medal in that. Thank you very much.
Well, you're going to have to name it something else because Special Olympics is for intellectual athletes, so you're going to have to coin another term.
I can't call it special, special,
no,
special.
No, you can't call it
triple
special.
How am I going to call it the only...
I don't know.
Only the Bahamians could apply Olympics. How I can get a gold medal if actual athletes compete? Don't make any sense. We got to call her on the line. Call her, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Miss Erin Green and Brown. How are you all doing this morning?
Good
thank you.
Okay, Miss Green.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I would like. I don't know if you already did it before, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you could bring on some of those frontline workers, them, including the social workers, social service workers,
mm-hmm.
so we could understand exactly, because the government's saying one thing and they saying the workers saying they ain't being treated right.
Yeah.
Also, we have some people talking about you could go to the pharmacy and get things like zinc and different things, different from taking the vaccine. Some people are saying that we don't have to be forced to take the vaccine. There's other things we could do to keep our immune system built up, different like bush medicine. Maybe you could bring some of them people on and stuff like that, if it's possible, Ms. Green.
Absolutely.
Okay, Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Green and Brown, listen. I respect you, Ms. Brown, as a disabled person. Also, I'm blind. I've been like this, Missy, for 30-something years. I didn't born this way. I didn't choose to be this way.
You acquired a disability.
Huh?
You acquired a disability.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear you. I hear the part where you talk about how we've been living our life, like social distancing and physical distancing, for many years. Mm-hmm. What these physical able people able to, I mean, what they're going through right now and complaining mm-hmm. about. We don't think two wrongs don't make a right.
No.
I don't even like them having to go through it.
Yes.
But what we saying, us disabled people could be an inspiration to y'all people who are able-bodied people. You don't have to live our life or go through some of the miseries we go through, but we here to say that we could still make it.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of all the lockdown, the social distancing and everything, we saying that we must satisfy with this and let the government get away with this. We must complain and let them know certain things that we don't think they explain it to us good enough. They ain't giving us no data or data enough
right.
to let us know why they're doing certain things. But
right.
the disabled people is the inspiration. I want to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I want to ask you if you have the statistic or if you have any data or data Ms. Green, Ms. Brown, to know how much us disabled people being already who don't get the vaccine. See, some of the disabled people, they live with family members. Although they might be adult, they got to do what's evident, people saying. Even if they think they don't want to take it, like how a person like me did not or don't have no intentions right now on taking it. I'm dealing with the bush medicine and the other rest of things, them to keep my immune system built up with some bread. And I think we should know what they going through, them disabled people. So I wonder what the statistics is, how much disabled people don't take the vaccine, from who ain't take it yet, and how much us ain't take it yet. Also, I mean, I know I've taken up enough a lot of time. I like the text what came in yesterday before Ms. Green, Erin Green, said yesterday that she would have a disabled person coming in today. And the text was talking about what this thing is about, Disabled Pride Month. I haven't heard it in the Bahamas. I heard it on foreign news. I started listening yesterday, and I think I caught a piece last night. They were saying something about it, either celebrating it or something like that. The pride thing, I don't know what they mean, because when I hear the pride thing, just like the text yesterday, I think about the Gay Pride Month would be celebrating June. I know we didn't choose to be disabled. Some disabled gay activists and stuff, they say, well, they born that way and stuff like that. But I think it's a big difference. I know you might disagree, but I just wanted to call in to tell you, say, I think us disabled people could be an inspiration with this whole COVID thing and this lockdown and stuff like that, the social distance and stuff. We still, I mean, we here to tell the people that won't get their sight, no, could physically move around, that as many things you could do to keep active and to do things, them. Don't let this thing get to you, because life still goes on.
Well, give me your name again.
It's the blind one, Papa Erin.
I say the
you
the,
might
the,
know me, but my,
I say
my
the
name
voice
is
sounds familiar, but I was
yeah,
trying
my name to, is
Papa. Papa, okay, yes, I know the name. All right, so first of all, thank you for calling in, and thank you for always
work,
being
Green.
An active.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
An active voice. And what I want to add to what you're saying, one, we're all inspirations. A lot of times, one of the challenges that we have living with a disability, that everybody is so surprised that we're thriving, that we're successful, that we have voices, we have opinions, we have views while living with the disability. We're not doing it despite of, we're not overcoming our disability, engaging these spaces. We are doing as such any other human being would do. And when being born with a disability, the lived experience is different from one who acquired a disability like myself. 17 years ago, due to bone cancer, I became an amputee. So me acquiring a disability meant that for some parts of my life, I lived as a non-disabled person with all access. And the minute my leg was removed, so was my access. So a lot of our conversations, we also, and within our community, we also got to get past this inspirational type of message and more of engaging, interacting, being a part, being provide access, being giving opportunities, having inclusion in spaces that are about nation building and development. Because we are successful with our disabilities. We are thriving with our disabilities, even though society has created barriers, has created specific need barriers that is stopping us from completing a lot of things, yet we are finding ways in doing it. Now, the statistical data, that is one of the issues why a lot of persons aren't making decisions to take the vaccine or aren't having the ability to make an informed decision, because we do not have statistical data. And we don't even have emergency orders that speak specifically to our community, our service providers, our support networks, our caregivers. So asking for statistical data for those who are who have received the vaccine, we have yet to have that. As you heard in the PM's message, he spoke about homebound. Mm-hmm. And I would like to know, was homebound referring to persons with disabilities? Because the term homebound is not the definition from a person with a disability.
Now, look here. Thank you so much, Erin Brown. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have you back, hopefully next week. I want you all to know, I reached out to Erin earlier in the month. I need to say a couple things just as we leave in. To the people in the disabilities community that knew that this was International Disabilities Pride Month and didn't message me, I'm mad at you. You guys buy me a couple of baggies. I got to have you back. Hopefully next week, I can have you on in our short holiday weekend so we could continue this conversation. To Papa, Of course I can let you run on. Look at all the valuable information you brought as a member of the community to the discussion. That's why I let people quote unquote run on, because they inform the conversation so much. I got a couple of texts. I know I got to go carefully. Erin, it is important to treat patients with dignity, respect, and care. Take Bahamians out of the yard and build a state-of-the-art facility for all types of infectious diseases. We must revamp our current healthcare system. The dormitory is unacceptable. I'm sorry, Texas, I couldn't read the entire text. And to the person who said, gay people, good morning, Erin, with all due respect, why do gay people disrespect Christians? I have to get back to that text at another time. And I have another series of texts here. I'm so sorry I couldn't read this in its entirety, but good morning, Ms. Green. I got you. I'm going to photocopy this. I'm going to take a picture of this. I haven't forgotten you. I got your text yesterday. It was informative. I just got to find space to put it into the show. We're going to reach out and talk. Thank you to my audience for tuning in. Yes. I want to say congratulations to BAMVI, the Bahamas Association for the Visually Impaired.
Oh, BAMVI. BAMVI, yes.
For the blind and visually impaired.
Yes.
Congrats to them. And this conversation is going to continue. Thank you very much, Ms. Erin Brown.
Thank you.
To my audience, stay tuned because Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Going higher.